Back to Ping. This is episode 178. 178 weeks, which bring you all the hottest, finest, most buzzworthy stories that Microsofties and the world really are pinging each other about.
Give me a ping, Vasily. One ping only, please.
And Paul, last week we asked for some viewer interaction. We wanted them to ping our message boards. Can you ping a message board?
I can type the word ping and see how fast it responds through a shell command.
I feel like we've had this conversation that the word like ping, to ping somebody now, it just means to reach out and get in contact in like any way. So I feel like you could ping a message board.
Yeah, I'll ping someone and find out.
Yeah, I think you should. You can. I think even pinging, people say they'll ping me when they're going to call me.
Oh, really?
I've heard it. It's crazier things have happened. Anyway,
you hang out with an eclectic crowd.
I do. You have no idea. You do a little. we asked them, you know, we talked about how Microsoft was voted a fabulous place to work, and people from straight out of college were looking to get hired here. And we talked about some jobs that you might have had right out of college and jobs that they might have had and how they landed into whatever sort of fabulous careers they are at today. And, you know, I didn't get as many crazy stories as I would have liked.
Yeah, well, there was one that I thought was pretty funny. There's a guy under the name Pierre Cove. He said his first job was doing CAD for a small builder, but his desk was in the hallway for a couple of months, and then he was moved to the back room. But he said it wasn't until he watched the movie Office Space before he realized he was their Milton.
That's good. That's good. You know, we have a woman who works in our hallway. But she's not our Milton. She's really handy. She runs our events. But her office space is just in the little reception area in our hallway. It's been there for you. Yeah. Anyway, what about you, Paul? Did you have any embarrassing jobs? I know that you've been building companies and entrepreneuring since birth. But did you ever collect?
Yeah, I've had embarrassing moments at jobs, but never had a job that was on its whole embarrassing.
Really?
Yeah. So one thing that comes to mind is when I was in high school, I was working for my public school system, setting up their website and network and installing computers and all this great stuff. And there was one like late night where we were setting up something and there was a picture of a student on this computer playing soccer. And he was like giving like one of these looks to the ref.
Okay.
I can't see your look.
But yeah,
he was basically giving like a WTF look, and I had renamed the file to that jokingly because I was working with one of my good friends, and I had left it on the desktop of this, you know, very public computer spelled like that.
Yep.
And sure enough, there were some people that got upset about that, and they talked to my boss, and I thought for sure I was getting fired, and he just laughed. He was like,
really?
Yeah, we all make mistakes, just apologize for it, you're good. And I seriously thought I was going to get fired for
how
doing
old
that.
Were you at this age? What was
this? Oh, man, how old was I? Somewhere around 15.
15. All right, so you're still afraid. Let's see. So when I was 15, I think I told you this, I dressed as Wendy for the fabulous fast food chain Wendy's, and I stood outside and I held the sign, and I got people to come inside and enjoy delicious burgers, which I feel really set me off in my career of, you know, theatrics. Later,
I thought you were saying your career of selling out.
Yeah, that too. Whatevs. You know, anything for a buck. Later in my career of theatric / anything for a buck, I worked at a bar called Hogs and Heifers, which is, if you've ever seen the movie Coyote Ugly, where the bartenders have to get on the bar and dance when certain songs come on. When certain songs come on.
This is going to be slow motion gold.
I did that. Every time Devil went down to Georgia, I had a routine. So that's how that went. And then, you know, I got hired by Microsoft. Maybe a few things in between.
Yeah, maybe a few things. Well, should we start the show?
Let's do it. All right, Paul. So it's pretty commonly known that some smart people work here at Microsoft, right? a couple.
Really?
Yeah. It's a rumor.
Huh.
Anyway.
You know I left, right?
We've got some smart people who sometimes make some really, really confusing decisions. And one example, in my opinion, of a really confusing decision is the whole Xbox Live points system, where you spend real money for a dollar amount, but you don't get that exact dollar amount in points, and then the points you trade in for games worth a different amount. It was all very confusing to me.
Yeah, I think it's confusing to a lot of people.
Right. I'm sure there is a brilliant reasoning way above my head as to why this happened, but the end result is that this is kind of confusing to consumers. And so I think that they've recognized this, and they've decided to get rid of that system. The official announcement is probably going to come out exactly how it's going to work around E3, which is when, you know, all the good news comes out. But the word on the street is that we'll be adopting a system that is more makes more sense, where you pay a dollar, you get a dollar, you spend a dollar. It's all, you know.
It's all a dollar.
It's all a dollar. It makes sense.
It's like a dollar menu.
It's easy. And I'm for one, I'm in huge agreement with this decision.
Yeah, well, I think that this is still a rumor, so we can't really count our chickens before they're hatched. And we've talked about this, I think, a couple times on Ping before, where, you know, there's always been these rumors to get rid of the live points and put in, like, real currency amounts. But it is somewhat of a challenging thing. I mean, in this day and age, I can't imagine it being as hard as it was maybe when Xbox originally introduced online purchases. But needless to say, the challenges behind it were in being able to spend currency across different geographies. So if you have like a fixed number of points for a digital item, then you can have any number of currencies that can be translated dynamically into those points, versus having to, you know, constantly be recalculating what a digital good, especially from a content partner, is going to be like in all these different geographies. So you can imagine a movie that's available in the US for HD, maybe $4.99, but then how does that translate to how much it's going to cost over in the UK or in Argentina or any places that have like different levels of inflation, and how does that all get managed? So it's a huge pain in the butt to probably figure out all of this stuff, but hopefully we'll be able to make it nice and easy for consumers, so that at least at any point in time when they put money into the system, they know that they're going to be able to use all of that money at once and not have to buy like 500 points and then spend 400 of them and have 100 left over.
You know, the onus really should be on Microsoft to do all that figuring out. Like, it shouldn't be on me, the consumer, to figure out how many dollars I'm spending in points, you know? Like, I don't like to have to do math or think, you know? That's going to make me...
Yeah, I know that.
That is going to make me an unhappy customer. So. All right, Paul, and in tattoo news, which, of course, is always something I'm excited to report about, apparently there's a new trend in Bangalore where employees of Microsoft and other really big technology, IT companies, are actually getting their brand logo tattooed on their bodies. This is to celebrate getting such a fabulous job. And this is something that's going on. Like, they say that most people are doing this.
I don't know if they said that most people are doing it. I think they said that mostly people from IT.
Right, most people who work at an IT company are doing this.
No. They're saying people who do this are mostly in IT.
Hold on. Stay tuned, Bob. It says... Right, it says mostly people from IT. Mostly people from IT companies. No. Mostly people from IT companies like IBM, Apple, and Microsoft, and Oracle have got... Okay, so not most people who work there, but people... But so instead of people who work at Coca-Cola and Nike, the people who are right. doing this work at IT companies.
There we
got
go.
Got that clear? Personally, I'd rather have a Coca-Cola tattoo on me, but that's just me. You know, I'm gonna. Excuse me. Drop my mic. We're gonna keep rolling. I'm gonna tell a little story here. Are you okay?
I'm good. This is gold.
Oh, all right. Hold on. Okay. So, first of all, logos change, right? I mean, in fact, Microsoft just changed their logo. So I guess, like, I guess that just means you were old school. Like, if it's as though I have, like, the Windows 95 logo on me, I've been a fan for that long. Is that, like...
I think that would perfectly date you.
Right, which is not necessarily something I want to do. But here's my little story. So back in the day when G4 was just a fledgling company and like even less people had heard of it then than have heard of it now, it was like E3 2000, maybe 2001, I don't know. And we had a booth, and what we were doing is giving away tattoos. So anybody who came up who wanted to get a tattoo, you could get like anything you want of a certain size if it included the G4 logo in this tattoo.
Are these like temporary tattoos
No!
or henna tattoos or
this
things you just like?
This is a real guy with an ink gun giving away, you know, I mean, so you figure a tattoo about this size, it probably cost you $200 in the store, right? So as long as it had the G4 logo somewhere in that tattoo, you could get your mother's face with the G4 on her neck or whatever it is that you want to do. So
a tattoo within a tattoo.
Exactly. It's so meta. Anyway, I was like, this is so crazy. No one is going to do this. No one's heard of G4. If they have heard of G4, they don't like it that much. You know, like how in love could you have been with the network? It had only been on air for like a year. But regardless, no one's going to do this. Oh, my God, Paul. The line was like out the door all 3 days of E3. People desperate to get this G4. Now, and I'm thinking to myself, can you not afford a tattoo without the G4 logo, or are you really that passionate about video game television? And apparently, similar to the guys in Bangalore, maybe girls as well, people are just that passionate about, you know, I shouldn't talk. I've got some really stupid tattoos. We should probably just end this story.
And it comes full circle. It's like, okay, here's what I... Oh, no, now I'm just going to go back to my roots.
Yeah, I got some
roots.
Dumb ends. Right,
yeah, no, I definitely remember when I first joined Microsoft, and I wore my Microsoft badge as an intern all over the place. I was, like, so proud that I worked at Microsoft. And then joining as a full-time employee, I learned very quickly that that was... not the cool thing to do. That was not the way to be picking up chicks at the local bars.
I have a Microsoft frame around my license plate on my car. I'm proud.
Yeah, there's
but when
nothing
I get
wrong
fired,
being proud of it.
But right off.
But my mindset was that, like, oh, I'm cool because I work at Microsoft, and this will help me meet women at bars. And that couldn't be further
from
the truth.
You didn't realize at the time that what helps you meet women is PowerPoint comedy.
Yes, yeah, I was many years away from that revelation, but yeah, I guess over in Bangalore there are a number of people in tech that are super proud and they want to show it off, but that to me doesn't actually show that they work at a company.
They just like it.
Yeah, I mean, like anyone could go there and, you know, infringe on the trademark of a brand and get it tattooed on them and pretend as if they worked at some company.
Right, right. Yeah, totally. You know, I'm interested to see if anybody watching has any bad tattoos. You know, Ellen DeGeneres has a segment on her show called, like, Bad Paid For Tattoos. If anybody at home that wants to send in a picture of, post in the message board a picture of some tattoo that you are less than proud of, I'd be excited to see it, and maybe I'll share some of my bad tattoos with you. All right, Paul, so I would imagine that the bulk of our audience are big Star Trek fans. Huh? What do you think of that? Huh? Do you think?
I would say mostly fans of Star Trek would be.
Most fans of Star Trek are watching our show. If that were true, we'd have a really big viewing audience.
Yeah.
I wish that was the case. Anyway, we're just partnered up, Microsoft, to help promote the new movie, Star Trek Into Darkness. And with that, there's a bunch of different things in our marketing strategy, but the two coolest things, IMHO, are that we've added Klingon to the Bing Translator service. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, how do you say that in Klingon?
I have knock, knock, click, click, no.
I think you may have mispronounced one of them.
Well, you know, I'm not sure about the accent aigu at the end, but but other than that, and then there's also a new app on Windows 8 called the Star Trek app, and with this app, you can actually win points. You start as a low-ranking fleet commander or fleet officer, and then you get points for taking various missions, and the missions are completed by filling out surveys or checking out websites or answering trivia, or it's kind of like a game slash info edutainment app, all, you know, to get you excited about Star Trek. So it's really cool. I'm excited to see Microsoft, like, obviously hitting our demographic, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, creative ways to get people excited about the movie and to get people using, you know, the Bing Translator and Windows 8. See that? It's just, yeah. It's all goodness. Are you a Star Trek fan?
I used to watch Star Trek. I was a Deep Space Nine fan growing up, but I guess that's one of the worst Star Trek series of all of them somehow. So
I was Babylon 5.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of the Babylon 5 or any of the other types of series on that. But it looks like if we want to say that's awesome in Klingon,
It's
Vaj awesome.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, you know what? I worked with Will Wheaton. Does that give me Trekkie cred?
I think so, and probably lots of credit on Reddit.
Right there. All right. All right, everybody, that wraps up a fabulous episode of Ping. I almost said Windows Store Weekly.
So different.
One show at a time. Thank you for watching. Please comment. Please send me pictures of you or your friends or your family members, embarrassing tattoos. I'm really excited for this. I'm going to be checking the message boards like every day. And then for our question of the week, so I mentioned Will Wheaton, who I used to work with, at G4. He was a host of a show called Arena, which is really bad. But he was great. And I still follow him on Twitter, and he's a very, you know, avid tweeter. He tweets a lot, and so I follow him, and I'm interested to hear what he has to say. So I want to hear if you guys have any sort of who are your geek idols that you follow on Twitter, obviously besides Paul, right?
Obviously, because everyone follows me, and I think some of my followers should consider following you at some point.
Well, we'll see. You know, I was trying to get my numbers up to your level, Paul. But if there's anybody else, I follow actually, you know, a lot of good people. We'll talk about it next week, but I want to hear who you follow to get your good geeky information and loveness from. And in the meantime, you can always follow me at Elfoy and Paul.
And me at Paul Nest.
And we'll see you next week.